Hello there. Welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Great to be back with you here on the program. Today is Friday. It's November the 6th, and we're going to talk about an important fact, a fact that is very easy to forget, but one that we shouldn't forget. We might be living on the earth, but we are in reality citizens of heaven. And that's what St. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Philippians. Now, look, with all the craziness that's going on in the world right now, it's very easy to become overwhelmed, isn't it? Become stressed out, become frustrated, lose your composure, lose your peace. But if we keep in mind St. Paul's words and remember that one day we are called to live with God forever in heaven, and that the things of this world, the problems of this world, the fact that they're temporary, that's going to make it a lot easier to function without going crazy. Amen? And also today, we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about focusing on dealing with material things in this life. We've been going through a stretch in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is delivering some powerfully tough messages. Messages that might not always be pleasant to hear, but messages which are necessary to hear. And I don't know about you, but I would rather have him tell me here before it's the day of my judgment. I'd rather try to fix things now than deal with them later. So that's why I like to share messages like this with you. I think they're important. I think they're necessary. You know, it's not always the message that I would like to deliver, but it's the message I feel I'm supposed to deliver. Don't worry, it's not going to be that bad. Trust me. Hang out with me. Grab your beverage. Grab your snack. And settle in. And stick around for the entire 30 minutes if you can. It means a lot to me that you are here. I want to let you know something, too. This is the third attempt that I'm making to record this program. I have not had good luck. I recorded it the first time. I got about 5 minutes into the program, and I realized that the software was frozen. Things were not recording the way they should. I tried again. The microphone levels were off, and now I'm trying it for the third time. So let's hope that it works out this time. But, I just want you to know that it's good that we can spend this time together, especially on a Friday. We bring the week to a close. You're not going to have me for the weekend, so I wanted to leave you on a high note, give you some good information as we prepare to enter into the weekend, which reminds me very briefly, I want to tell you that the Gary Zimak Show, which is my weekly program, is now available. That podcast is now available for downloading, and what it does is it looks at the Sunday Mass reading. So if you want something to do, if you miss me over the weekend and you need a little dose of Gary, check out the Gary Zimak Show. It's available where you got this podcast, okay? Let me take a quick sip of my coffee. That is my beverage du jour, a nice cup of black hot coffee. Now, I'm kind of unusual. I don't know if you're the same way, but the weather here in South Jersey is really nice today. It's a really nice warm day. Eileen and I were able to take a walk without our coats on, which for November is fantastic. But see, I still like to drink hot coffee. I'm not an iced coffee person, so I can drink hot coffee even if it's 90 degrees out. I don't know if that's common. I don't know if that's unusual, but that's the way I am. I just like to share little details with you from time to time. All right, I'm looking at the software. We still look good. We are recording. You know, every now and then we get these glitches that I can't understand. But with that in mind, let's turn to our Heavenly Father. Let's recognize that we are in his presence, that he's waiting to hear from us, and that he can help us with any problem that we are facing right now. Isn't that comforting to know? You have a Father in heaven who can handle any problem that you could possibly encounter. Let's turn to him in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here for us, always. No matter where we go, no matter what the situation is, what time of day, you are always available for us. The only thing that stops us from communicating with you is our failure to communicate with you. So now we turn to you in prayer. The first thing we want to do is praise you for your greatness. Father, you created the entire universe out of nothing. You placed each of the stars in the sky, the planets where they should be. You created the water and the mountains. You created creatures. You created man and woman, all from nothing. I think that qualifies you, Father, to handle my problems. So I'm so grateful that through Jesus, I am able to call you, Father. And by faith, I know that you love me, that you are everywhere, and that you hear and answer all of my prayers. I am so grateful for that, Father. I turn to you this day, and I lift up my family, my friends, all of my concerns. We pray for our country, the United States. We pray for the entire world. We pray for an end to division and hatred and violence. We pray for a greater respect for life at all stages, from conception until natural death. Father, I ask you to use me as your instrument this day. Give me the words so that I can deliver the message that you have for us. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds to be receptive to your message. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, well, thank you so much for praying with me. Again, my name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Following the Truth. We do this podcast every Monday through Friday, and I'm really grateful to have you as a listener. If this is your first time, welcome. Please keep coming back. I got plenty of room here for you around the table as we talk about Jesus, and we talk about specifically how the Word of God can help us with our daily lives. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that God's Word is not relevant or not practical, but it is practical. It is relevant, and it really does matter. And that's why I'm always blessed to be able to relay these messages to you. And I want you to know that Jesus wants to walk with you each day. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to be your friend, but that goes two ways. You know, you can always count on him doing his part, but you and me, sometimes we can be slackers, or sometimes we don't even know what's possible. It is possible. And I would encourage you, if you're not really comfortable with the whole idea of having a relationship with Jesus, maybe it's new to you. Maybe you really want one, but it's kind of almost incomprehensible. What I'd say is just keep talking to him. Keep reading the Bible. Keep praying. If you can receive the sacraments as often as possible, that'll help too. The more you hang out with Jesus and interact with him, the more real he becomes. He is 100% real. But because we can't see him with our eyes sometimes, right, it gets difficult. But I am living proof of the fact that if you keep hanging with him, if you keep talking to him, if you keep trying to get to know him, you will get to know him better. And he's going to become very, very real to you. And as always, if you have questions, you can email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. So, and if you want to find out more information about my work, including picking up a copy of my latest book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, please visit my website, which is followingthetruth.com. If you haven't signed up for the daily email devotional, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you can do that at followingthetruth.com for free. It's going to cost you nothing. So check that out, followingthetruth.com. All right, so let's look at these readings today. Now, again, as I've been doing, I'm kind of in a groove with this. We've been doing this for the past several shows, I think. I've been looking at the daily Mass readings, the first reading from the Old Testament and a reading from the Gospel. I think this is where we should go for a while. We'll see if the Holy Spirit decides to take me in another direction. But for right now, I think this is a good way to go because these messages have been really good. So with that in mind, let's take a look at the Mass readings for Friday, November the 6th. And this is Friday of the 31st week in Ordinary Time. Now, we're getting to the end of the church year or the liturgical year. We're just a couple of weeks away, believe it or not, from entering into the Advent season. So we end one church year, and we then begin a new church year. And that's the way it works. It's a cycle. And we get ready during Advent to welcome the Lord more deeply into our lives. It's a great thing. And as a result, this is more apparent when you look at the Sunday Mass readings, but the readings focus on kind of like an end times message or the end of your life message. And again, it's not designed to be morbid. It's just designed to make you remember that you're not going to be here forever. And I think that's a great message. You know, we tend to want to avoid death. Death is not a pleasant topic for many people because it's scary. It's final. It's unknown. But yet it's the entrance into eternal life. Life with God, the angels, the saints, you get to meet Jesus, you get to see your deceased loved ones. I mean, what a great thing. What a great place to be. But it's hard. Death is not an easy topic. So what we want to do is we want to continue to grow close to Jesus in this life so that we're not afraid to join him in the next life, right? That's what we want to try to do. And what I've noticed is it gets easier. I used to be very afraid of death. I'm not afraid to die now. You know, I'm afraid possibly to suffer, if I'm being completely honest. I think a lot of people have that problem. Like, well, I'm not afraid to die, but if only I don't have to suffer. Because there's a natural aversion to suffering. Jesus experienced it too when he had his agony in the garden. So that's not something to be necessarily bent out of shape about. It's a normal reaction. But I don't believe in avoiding the topic of death, because the idea of living in heaven with no problems and seeing deceased family and friends, to me, that is a very attractive and appealing idea. So that's why I think it's good to focus on it. And it's also important to keep an eye on heaven so that we make sure we get there. And there are things we have to do here, mainly to cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives us so that we can get to heaven. So with that in mind, let's look at this reading from St. Paul, his letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, and beginning in verse 17. Paul says this, "Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us." So Paul's saying something really good, telling the Philippians, look at me, behave the way that I behave. He's setting an example, which is something as Christians we should all be doing. That's why we want to be careful. You know, if somebody knows you're a Christian, and I need to be more aware of this too. If somebody knows that I'm a Christian, when they watch my behavior and what I post on Facebook, the way I talk in person, you know, if it's possibly even family members who live in the same house with us, how we behave, it's really important and critical for us to set a good example. That's part of the evangelization process. Because if you're not living the life of a Christian, then nobody's going to want to listen to what you have to say. You know, so we should, as Christians, be different. We should be joyful, because we know that we have the help of the Lord at all times, and that one day we can live with him forever in heaven. So Paul is saying, look at me, imitate me. And he said this, "For many, as I have often told you and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ." Listen to this part. "Their end is destruction." Ready? "Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame." Isn't that's a powerful statement? Your God is your stomach. And what Paul's saying is, some people, and we all fall victim to this at times, are so focused on living a comfortable life and enjoying themselves that they lose sight of the eternal perspective of there's a bigger picture. This earth is not all there is. Your God is your stomach. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? And he says this, "Their minds are occupied with earthly things." And that's what I would tell you. I feel this is a piece of good news. Right now in the United States, the election, it has been crazy. The division is still ongoing. People are at each other's throats. You know, a lot of stuff, a lot of despair, a lot of discouragement, a lot of even hopelessness. We need to chill out, I think. It doesn't mean we don't care. That doesn't mean we don't make an opportunity to be good, to make the world a better place, to vote responsibly according to our Christian faith. You know, that's what we're called to do. But at the same time, we want to recognize that God is still in charge. He's still in charge. And that should be somewhat freeing, I think, realizing that he's in control. He's got this. And just pray for those who you should pray. Pray for our country. Pray for the world. But don't be consumed and fall into despair because things don't appear to be going the way you would like. This world is fallen. You know, we have a fallen human nature. We live in a fallen world. Many people would be happy just completely taking God out of the picture. But because of free will, you see, he allows it to happen, but he also can bring good out of it. And that's what we need to remember. So don't despair. Don't focus solely on earthly things. But our citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven. There you go. We're citizens of heaven. And from it, we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Which I think is a perfect message heading into Advent, because Advent's a period of waiting. We're essentially waiting to welcome Jesus. Even though he entered the world over 2,000 years ago, in a sense, every Advent should be a time dedicated to growing closer to him. I want him to enter more deeply into my life. That should be the goal anyway. So we wait for Jesus. You know, we're just a couple of weeks away from that time. St. Paul says he will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, Paul says, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, beloved. Stand firm. Don't panic. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. Trust that the Holy Spirit will work through you if you let him. And trust that you can change. That's the thing that we sometimes lose sight of. That the Holy Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit, is to transform us into the image of Jesus. That seems almost impossible, doesn't it? But that's the job of the Spirit. You and me, by ourselves, we're not going to succeed there. But if we let the Holy Spirit work in us, we're going to gradually begin to display or produce more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more goodness, more faithfulness, more gentleness, and more self-control. They're the fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits were evident in the life of Jesus, right? And those same fruits can be produced in our lives if we let the Holy Spirit work in us. Again, the bigger picture, the heavenly picture, not just what you can see with your eyes, not just material things. So let's shift now to the gospel, which is from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And this is a message from Jesus to his disciples. Now, he had been speaking a lot to his enemies, the religious leaders, the people who were constantly trying to trip him up. Well, now here Jesus is speaking to his disciples. So he's speaking to you and me. And this is a great message. Jesus said to his disciples, a rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, what is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you no longer can be my steward. Now, what we have is a steward. You know, we might not be familiar with this idea. This is a person who is responsible for running the affairs of his boss. So the rich man has this steward running his businesses, if you want to look at it that way, for him. This guy is left in charge by the rich man. But he messed up. And he's saying, all right, grab your things. I'm about to terminate your employment, right? If you look at it that way, it makes sense. Now, the steward said to himself, he's freaking out a little bit, "What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do when I am removed from the stewardship, that they may welcome me into their home." So what he's going to do, he comes up with this plot. He's about to lose his job. And he knows that he's too old to dig, to work to do manual labor. And he's too ashamed to beg. He doesn't want to become a beggar. So he wants to find a way to sustain his living. He wants to find a way to provide for his needs. So he concocts this plan to try to be able to survive financially now that he's losing his job, if you will. So the man called in his master's debtors one by one. Now check this out. To the first he said, "How much do you owe my master?" He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Now you see what he's doing here? Let's look at this. So he calls in somebody who was a debtor who owed this guy's master or boss some money. It says 100 measures of olive oil, but let's say it's $100 just to make it a little simpler. "How much do you owe my boss?" $100. "I'll tell you what, give me 50 and we'll call it even." Now, did he have the right to do this with his boss's money? No way. But what's he trying to do? He's trying to get these debtors to like him. But he's doing it in an immoral manner. His boss didn't give him permission to do this, but he's really shrewd. You know, he's trying to get on their good side. But at the same time, he's playing with his boss's money, which is not right. So then he called another man in. He said, "How much do you owe?" He replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Here's your promissory note. Write one for 80. See what he did? "I'm going to reduce how much you owe back. You just give me less and we'll call it even." And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. "For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than the children of light." Now, this is one of those disturbing parables, because it almost seems like Jesus is rewarding dishonesty, but that's not what he's doing. What he's commending this guy for is for being shrewd, for being clever. You know, we as human beings, we can be really resourceful and clever when it comes to saving money. You know, I can find ways to get a bargain. I look in the paper for the sales at the supermarket. Maybe if I'm trying to strike a deal on a house or on a car, I negotiate to try to get a cheaper price. We're good at that. And we can be very creative sometimes. And what Jesus is really trying to say to us, and again, he's using exaggeration or hyperbole. He wants us to hear this story and get a little disturbed about it. What he's saying is, you guys, that's you and me, remember, this is addressed to the disciples. You guys are pretty creative when it comes to saving yourself money or providing for your needs or taking care of your family, none of which are bad, right? But they're earthly things. If only you would be so creative when it comes to looking for ways to store up treasure in heaven and to do things that would advance God's kingdom on earth. In other words, to gain spiritual treasure, to do things for God, to help other people. He's saying, the purpose of the story is, don't have your sole focus be on money, on prestige, on achievement, on comfort, but focus on making sure you get to heaven, which is a direct tie-in to that message from St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. You know, you and me, we're citizens of heaven. So let's not focus all of our attention on things that are temporary. Instead, let's use the brains God gave us to find ways to evangelize, to draw other people close to Jesus, people who might not know about him, and to make sure that we can get closer to him too. That's the challenge. We can do it. I know we can. But sometimes, in order to do that, we've got to deny ourselves the material pleasures that we look for. So that's the challenge for us today going into the weekend. I think it's a good one. What are we doing to promote peace and love and God's kingdom on earth? And I'm telling you, social media is a great place to start. When was the last time we, and I say, you know, I'm not accusing anybody, but I think we need to look at this. When was the last time we posted something positive? Is everything we post negative? I know some people who are Christians, proud Christians, but yet they don't post anything positive ever. It's all negative and accusatory. Didn't Jesus do anything good for you today? You know, I mean, and again, I'm not addressing you, but it's just something for all of us to think about. What can I do to share the good news today in some way? That's what Jesus is challenging us with. I think it's good. I'm going to really pray about this and see what I can do because I do want to make a difference. You and me, we could change the world. We don't have to change every person in the entire world. We just change who we can by being positive examples. You know, like St. Paul said, look at me. I set an example for you, Paul said. Behave like I did. So that's the challenge. Hope it wasn't too painful. And listen, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. I said this the other day. I'm going to ask you again. If you're able to donate to my ministry, I could very much use it right now. I'm really looking for some new monthly sponsors, so that would help me tremendously. If you're able to do that, that would be great. Otherwise, you can make a one-time donation. All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com and click on donate. Thank you so much in advance. Have a wonderful weekend. God willing, I plan to be back here Monday. I hope you'll be able to join me. Have a great weekend.